Okay, it's just after 8, so we'll go ahead and get started with the June 27th CCDDB meeting. We'll call it to order and ask Stephanie to call roll.
Joy Still.
Here.
David Hamp.
Here.
Cheryl Hanley Maxwell. Mike Smith. Deb Roush. We do not have a quorum.
Okay, since there's no quorum, we're going to move through this pretty quickly. We're not even going to have any approval of the agenda, but is there any questions about the agenda, any additions? All right, then we're going to skip straight to citizen input and public participation. Anybody in the audience wish to address the board?
They would all fit at the table, don't you think?
That's true, and you guys are welcome to join us at the table since it's such a small crowd. Deb's not here, and I don't have any comments prepared, so we will skip to approval of the meeting minutes. The meeting minutes from the May 23rd meeting are included. We're not going to act on those, but is there any corrections or additions to the meeting minutes? Same with the financial information. It's in the packet, but we're not going to act on that. So we're going to switch to move on to board direction, new business. Lynn, do you want to just kind of run through those items?
Well, board direction is really an item for you to have a discussion that's a board-driven and board-only discussion. And so if nothing is on your heart today that, you know, to bring here, then we could just move to the next, which is a presentation on the needs assessment surveys that we conducted. And I think we started in October and closed it in January. And then since then there's been some data sorting and analysis, and we have all of it for you today. And the person who put it together is Alex Campbell, and he's going to present it, and then we'll keep working on what to do with this data next month, because this will be part of the strategic planning process.
All right. Well, Alex, we'll go ahead and turn it over to you and let you do your presentation. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hold on just a second, Alex.
I'm sorry, Alex.
Yeah.
I skipped something really important. This was the Michael Hagley's statement, which I believe I read to you, or maybe I emailed it to you a couple months ago, but he wanted it read into the record, so we decided to just publish it, because that way it's publicly available. It's an interesting set of comments. It's at the bottom of that page. Was that 15?
Yes.
16. No, 15, yeah. I'll read it now. He says, "Hello to each one here today. I know you're here because you understand that there are at least two types of disability, physical and mental ones as well. I am Michael Hagley, and while I'm not physically disabled, I am nonetheless a disabled person. I suffer from a multitude of mental disabilities, including bipolar disorder, schizoaffective disorder, and autism spectrum disorder, to name a few. There are possibly tens of millions of people who share some or all of my diagnoses. All we want is what our Constitution promises and our fellow citizens want: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We want to know that we have a future to look forward to, but all too often we end up homeless or incarcerated. There is an urgent need to fund programs on the state and federal levels so that research and intervention programs can readily reach out to the mentally disabled. And there is also a need to publicize those programs so that people with mental disabilities are aware of their existence. Thank you for all you are doing, and please press forward with your important work. Many of us standing in the shadow of mental illness are depending on you. The time for action is always now." So I think it's important that we have that statement in the same board packet as all the needs assessment results. All of the needs assessment results, because we saw a pretty low return from people who live with disabilities, and I think this is very helpful to have a full statement from such a person, and I thought that was a nice statement. And since he wrote that, he has had some successes thanks to some of the program representatives right here. So.
Great, thanks. I'm glad you were able to read that and put it in the minutes. So we'll go ahead and let Alex Campbell start on his presentation.
Okay, thank you. The summary presentation or agenda that I have up here will serve as kind of a guide to stepping through the methodology that was defined and implemented for purposes of the survey, and also we'll get into such things as what, how are the details presented, and ways of navigating through all of the detail to hopefully somewhat facilitating the method in which you analyze the data to come to conclusions. But at the very least, the assessment survey documents that were the deliverables out of this project was a brief memorandum regarding the methodology. Then an addenda, and the addenda reflected every question and every option within each question as it related to the four surveys. And again, let's talk about what those four surveys were. It was one for consumer, one for caregiver, one for the provider, and one for stakeholder. Finally, I put together for each of those four surveys a summary of the results. So it was trying to take anywhere upwards of 25 to 29 questions and provide at least a summary view of some of the key statistical results on the various questions that existed. We'll get into that a little bit more as we go. So what was the methodology? Lynn alluded to it. So there was a, it was open from October 24th last year to January 31st. And there was two ways to complete that survey. You can come online to complete it, or paper copies were available, I think primarily at the provider locations, if I'm not mistaken, but certainly other locations. And we actually had quite a bit in the way of paper submissions as well. The way we set this up was not to require that each question or any particular questions were required to be completed. So we left them all on and not required. And what that resulted in was that there was actually quite a few surveys that were started but not finished. And in some cases, some started without any questions being answered. So I'll get into a little bit of what we decided to do with that. Finally, the in terms of the statistics, I'm going to refer to not only the summary stats, but also where the detail exists. So what was the objective of the survey? Project. It was to solicit responses on a person's experience within the system, access to services, and gaps in the services, and all of these surveys were anonymous. The promotion in terms of, we'll get into the methodology document for the details part of that, but if you were to look at that, you'll see how the team here promoted and encouraged the surveys to be completed. And the deliverable out of all this in terms of the community needs assessment is to present them to the board, and Lynn and the team here can speak better to that, but in the fall to submit a report regarding what their findings were regarding the surveys. So the addenda details, let me just give you a flavor for that. First of all, let's see, how hard to see that, isn't it? So for purposes of the DD surveys, we had for the consumer 29 questions, caregiver 31, you can see for provider 14, and the stakeholder 7. Altogether, we had 9 completed consumer surveys, 42 completed caregiver, 28 for provider, and 8 for stakeholder. And you can see the breakout between online and paper. At the far right, and let me just navigate a bit over to there, you'll see incomplete. So that represents then those surveys that were started but weren't substantially completed. So I went through every one of the, I think it was close to 200 surveys, to determine which ones were substantially completed and which ones were not. And those that were substantially completed, those were moved over to our so-called completed category and included in our analysis. In terms of the overall detail, this is even harder to see. But what we do is we took each question and then provided the get over there. Now let's just move it over. With respect to each question, here are your responses, and here was the percentages of the answers of given the various options that existed. So what you had here was a variety of question types. You had yes, no. You had open comment questions. In fact, in some cases, we provided then a number of options to check all that apply. In other cases, it was to check the option that the one option that was applicable to the particular question. And we also get into questions, which is probably as important as others, is what do you do with your spare time? What are the services that you seek? And are receiving, which are the services that you need but aren't getting? And through the summary document, I will have highlighted the top answers in the various categories. But one of the areas I wanted to emphasize was that to come back into this detail, to look at what wasn't checked. For instance, what services or supports are you receiving? Is it material that out of the 9 responses that none of them chose? And I'm not making any judgment on the answer, but just to highlight areas to look at. Is it significant that advocacy linkage wasn't selected, for instance? Let me encourage questions along the way. So that's the basic format. So as you go through, you'll have a PDF of all of these questions and answers. There is an Excel version of that where easier to step through just your different worksheets representing each of the surveys. So I mentioned that what the different survey question types were. There's also what I didn't allude to was one that dealt with ratings in terms of, say, services. Were they available? And if they were available, was it often, sometimes, seldom? So the summary objective really was to focus through at a glance kind of approach the responses that tended to stand out just statistically. And however, one thing to note is that the comments that the respondents made, we put in their entirety into the documents I provided you. So while we might have summarized everything else pretty much, the comments are there in their entirety. So that's why you'll see 177 or what have you in terms of number of pages. Again, as you go through the summary, take the consumer one, for instance. Always keep in mind that you may want to go back to the detail in the addenda to get a more complete view of the responses that were provided. So, and again, this was done in a way to try to provide a at a glance type of indicators in terms of the responses that were being provided. So initial questions, I'm not going to go through each question, but just to give you a flavor for the format, to the extent that I could set it up in a quick table, I did that as is the case with the initial questions. What is important to you? There's an example of a question that asked for comments as opposed to providing choices. And again, all of the comments were entered. On the yes and no, just what the percentages were. Number five is an indication of, or an example of my going through and then taking the what I thought was a statistical threshold. And again, this is all subjective, but for tell us about where you live. So I took the those that were, in this case, out of the nine complete surveys, the ones that had more than two or more responses, selecting a particular option. There are then, here's the case, but what services or supports are you receiving? And who provides those services? Then there's subsequent questions as to what services are you needing but not getting? And again, taking the, you know, those responses that were selected most often. These are examples, again, of going back to what the detail is and identifying then of the options that were there, which ones weren't checked at all? You know, what services that are needed weren't checked that might have surprised you, or what services are being received but weren't identified might have surprised you. And this was a case of the getting into rating then, in this case, barriers. So of the of those barriers that were noted 22% or more of the time, unaware of service availability, transportation issues, stigma, and so on. Sometimes options where services do not meet needs. I'm not sure who to ask. Again, other statistics around age range, where the respondents reside, and then into comments there. So this type of format was used for the all four of the survey types. Again, consumer, caregiver, provider, and stakeholder. So let me open that up to questions, comments. A lot to absorb.
Alex, one question. So you said that there were nine consumers who completed the surveys?
That's correct.
Substantially completed, or nine that attempted to complete?
Nine that I view were substantially completed. And in terms of then there was 21 that were started.
Okay.
But were maybe one question was answered at the most. So, again, this was very subjective kind of criteria in terms of deciding or determining what was a completed one or not. But here's your list of those that were started, just not completed.
It's curious that seven of the nine people who completed the DD Consumer Survey say they do not have a developmental disability. So I think at some point we talked about maybe a person was helping them fill it out. We thought this is probably being done on behalf of a person who actually has a DD, because the comments are so consistent with what, at least what our experience of, you know, a person with DD might be, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that's interesting, because we at first meant that to be a qualifying question, and then we had to not see it that way.
Did you at one time also come meet with a group, or did that not happen? I remember there being some discussion about that. So did that happen or no?
No, that hasn't happened. Kim and I are kind of playing email back and forth, trying to figure out a good time to meet.
Okay.
But I do still want to do that. I definitely still want to do that.
One thing that happened, and I can't remember what month, but as the self-advocates who do a training on how to hire staff, who did that here, made a series of comments at the end of their presentation that were kind of good recommendations for all of us, and I put that into the D memo of the funding decisions. Because I mean, that's actually really great stuff, and I think the comments that people made here in these surveys are pretty useful too. So, anyway.
So, Kim, does that mean that this is an ongoing survey? Is it open-ended or is it complete?
For these specific questions in this survey, I would say it's not necessarily open-ended, but I would like to sit down with the self-advocates and the other groups and just have conversations and hear what they want as far as services go, as far as recreation goes, what kinds of things they want to see more of and want to see maybe go away. So those would just be more of informal conversations than sitting down and going through these questions.
Okay.
I think the context is that the DD board is not required to do any kind of strategic planning, let alone a 3-year plan with a community needs assessment to preface it, but you do. Anyway, maybe it's good practice to have a strategic plan, whatever form that takes, but kicking it off is this community needs assessment. And so this is really just part of it. We have never done this before. Some of the other things that we use for a community needs assessment would be like I think UCP publishes the national study comparing investments in Medicaid every year, so we use that. There's sometimes census data is really helpful. So we've kind of, we rely on other organizations' needs assessments too. Lots of different places to take data about Champaign County. But we haven't done this before. And I think given that, this is new and we sort of expected that would happen, the conversations with self-advocacy groups could be seen as a separate activity.
Up on the screen now is an example of maybe a better example of the comments being included. And just aside from, highlighting their existence is that they're verbatim. We did not do any editorializing or grammar check or whatever on this. This is all verbatim from the way it was typed in, either in the paper copy or the online system. And in particular, on the developmental disability side, there were substantial number of comments that were, that were provided, which is great. You'll see some that are, you'll see spaces between sections here. To the extent it was a one-line comment, I decided not to put spaces in to try to condense it as much as possible. So that's why you'll see a string of them without spaces in between, just a formatting note. And some questions will have not only options that you select or have the ability to select, but also an other component to it. And to the extent that options that were in the list were not applicable to what was your experience, the respondent's experience, then we had them do free text in terms of specifying what that other option would be to share under that particular question. So here's an example of that. And in the same vein, you might have some questions where if it's a yes, no, and if it's yes, please explain. So again, just to kind of emphasize that as part of the overall analysis that getting back into the detail, sometimes what was not checked is as important as what was checked, or could be as important. altogether we had 14 provider, excuse me, we had 28 provider responses. So the provider and caregiver were the highest on the DD side. And just example of the type of providers that were responding, the services they provide, give you a flavor for that survey. Kind of the various offerings around appointments, the language services, some of the demographics of those served. Various groups being served. And then with stakeholders, type of organization the respondent represents, where they live, or where the organization exists. Are they advocates for persons with disabilities? And if so, what types of services? The demographics. The availability of services from their perspective, what barriers they see, in this particular case, financial issues, transportation issues, and then an open-ended comment question about the service needs or service gaps they've experienced that they feel should be brought to the attention of the board.
Alex, could you talk a little bit about the often, sometimes, and seldom, and how those are ranked and, I guess, quantified, and that I believe they're unique to each of the responses?
Yeah, in the list of, so we're in the, what we had was for example, question six was, is the stakeholder aware of barriers? There was a list of options of what those barriers might be, and each barrier had four options associated with it, and those were often, sometimes, seldom, and does not apply or do not know. So what we did was so they had to select one of those four options for each barrier. And what I did was then sorted by each of the response types, often, sometimes, seldom, and took those options that were selected most under that particular category. So in this case, financial issues was identified as a barrier by 75% of the respondents. 38 identified transportation issues as often a barrier. Another 38%, or it could be the same 38%, identified unaware of service availability as often being a barrier. So services too far away was identified in this particular case as sometimes being a barrier by almost two-thirds. Mark, does that answer?
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear that those were unique to the response with that the percentages were based on the response under the subcategory, the choices that you could have selected.
That's correct.
So it's 75% of often. So that 75% is only based on the total number that identified a particular barrier.
That's correct. So in other words,
and so that 75% is based on, say, 10 out of the total 20 responses to the initial question.
Correct. So in the stakeholder, there were 8 completed surveys. 6 of them chose that option.
Okay.
So 6 of the respondents said that selected often for financial issues being a barrier.
Did you want to go through any more of it, Alex, or is that?
Well, that I kind of stepped through, again, the methodology. So the documents, the basic methodology, the importance, I think, of the agenda in terms of the complete detail, question types, what the objective was of the summary that I prepared, stepping through then each type and maybe some of those questions. Types and how to look at them. So that was basically my presentation, but I'm certainly open to stepping through any particular questions.
I was going to ask Lynn to talk about what the next steps are, but before we do that, does anybody have any questions about the presentation? All right, Lynn, if you could talk about what we're going to do with this information and what the next steps are.
Well, we definitely want to summarize it. So, because what we're moving toward is a new 3-year plan with goals. We may end up with a 3-year plan that looks an awful lot like the current 3-year plan, because I don't feel like any of this is really a surprise. But we'll want to summarize this as part of the community needs assessment that leads into the 3-year plan. And that could be, you don't meet in August, so it could be September when we introduce that.
Thanks, Alex, for your work, and thanks for the presentation. The next item on the agenda is a PowerPoint presentation from a self-direction assistance program. I assume staff attended this.
This is
Kim. Kim, did you want to talk about that?
This is in here mostly just for reference. It's the way the state for the home-based service program. It's the way they're moving through the self-direction assistance. It's just for reference. And at the very last page, I believe it's in here. Maybe it didn't. There it is. So pages 162 and 163 kind of breaks down the job responsibilities as the state sees it for the ISCs and then the self-direction assistance program. So it just breaks it down and shows who's supposed to be doing what.
This is,
As far as I know, the ISCs could probably speak better to how chaotic it has been, but from my understanding, yes, it has been.
Thanks. The next item on the agenda is where we ask agencies to present any information and talk about successes. So I'll invite agency representatives to come forward.
Good morning, Annette Becker, DSC. Just wanted to share an example of how all the programs that you fund work together to help people find employment. Stephanie Davenport, the LEAP coordinator, developed a relationship at the Champaign Park District, and from that was able to set up a LEAP training. They were very excited about it, had meetings with the hiring managers, and from that, three people have gotten jobs. Two of the people are people who work at Clark Road. One person is going to be a pool attendant, so she gets to hang out at the swimming pool every day and work concessions. Another individual is actually going to work as an assistant in the special rec program. And then another person works at the Virginia Theater and the pools as well. So it's a really great ongoing relationship. This is kind of our pilot, and we're hoping that in the future we'll be able to get jobs for more people when there's a good match.
Thanks, Annette. Patty?
Hi there, Patty Walters at DSC. I just wanted to share that I know there were concerns about continuation of service or availability of services for people as the CTF advocacy program closes at the end of this week. And we had been approached by several of the people that were receiving services there. And I believe, I'm not sure how many they were serving in total, but I think there were three that have approached us asking for support. And two will begin services next week without an interruption. And a third, we're working out details in terms of what support that they can get compared to what they were receiving. So we've been able to be as responsive as possible to all that have approached us at this point. I think it was just worth sharing that, you know, that with the discontinuation of something, that there is some support available, and they've been able to kind of transition with a plan and hasn't created a further hardship on them or their family. So just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Mary Rasher with Regional Planning Commission. We just wanted to share that there has been a PUNS draw this year. 900 names were selected for the state, and right now everyone is going through and verifying addresses, and no letters will be sent out until that is completed. We anticipate early July for that. We, for the three counties that we serve, Champaign, Ford, and Iroquois, have received 15 names.
Mary, can you tell us the breakdown of Champaign, Ford, and Iroquois?
I believe Champaign has 12 names. And Ford and Iroquois, three names.
Thank you.
Any other agencies wish to address the board? Okay, we'll move on to old business. Disability Resource Expo, Barb wants to talk about that.
Good morning. Good morning. My cohort isn't here yet, but I'll go ahead and speak. As you all know, we had the 11th Annual Disability Resource Expo on April 7th. We're a little late reporting this because of, you know your schedule's been busy. But anyway, it went very well. We had just lots and lots of folks come out. And I think we ended up with 105 exhibitors, something like that, which is more than we've ever had. It just seems to keep growing each year. The thing, what we have done since the expo is that, which we kind of do each year, is we get together, the steering committee, and have a debriefing session, kind of celebrate, you know, that everything that went well, and just talk about what we need to change for the next year, for the 12th annual. So for the out of the debriefing, several things came up. You know, first of all, the venue. We were in a new venue this year at the Vineyard Church, and that turned out to just be a wonderful venue for us. And fortunately, they have invited us back, so we're really thrilled with that. We're in the midst of getting a contract together for that, and that should be completed. I'm just waiting to receive that, so that should be completed real soon. Also a contract with the pipe and drape company that did all the setup and tear down, so that's in the works as well. let's see. You know, we looked at exhibitor and participant evaluations as well as just our own, you know, our own committee and what they observed. And we just felt like it was really, it's a spacious venue. We have, you know, we try to keep it at 100 exhibitors each year, and that's probably real appropriate. We don't want to, you know, kind of get to where we're crunched. So, you know, we're kind of stay at that is our plan. We will, the Vineyard has asked for a little bit more money, not much, but there was a lot of furniture. If you've ever been in there, they've got a lot of furniture that had to be moved for us. Their cafe, the tables in there all had to be re-leveled. And so that's kind of the need for a little bit of additional funds for that. We want to not use they prefer that we not use the cafe area, which we had about a dozen exhibitors, but they've offered another area in its place that I think will be great. It'll be close. We're actually planning to move the children's area. Although it was a big room, that room was just wild. I mean, busy. So this other area I think will be a lot better for that. So just kind of looking at doing some of those. Our need for volunteers and staffing, I think we need to bump that up a little bit. In particular, at the end of the event, the Vineyard is a very busy church, and so they had things happening that evening. So additional volunteers, excuse me, will help to kind of get us cleared out of there quicker. And actually, just a couple of days ago, I had an offer from an organization that is willing probably to provide additional volunteers for that stage. So that sounds like it's going to work out really well. Another thing we want to do is some pre-event training for our volunteers, just maybe the day before, have them come in while we're doing setup and, you know, show them give them a tour of the place and just kind of have better prepare them. We thought we might use the Etiquette 101 bookmarks that we developed years ago as a little training tool as well, so that they can better interact with folks. Let's see, what else did we have? You know, folks directing exhibitor check-in ran really well. Thanks to Vicki being out in the parking lot directing traffic, that really helped a lot. As far as getting everybody in there, we probably are going to move up our exhibitor registration time just to avoid running into visitors starting to come, because we tend to have that happen each year. We've got folks that arrive a little early and exhibitors that arrive a little late. So hopefully that will avoid that. We talked about prizes. We think, you know, because it gets a little congested at the entrance, we thought maybe a large prize that they could register for somewhere else, not at the entrance. So that would probably be good. Exhibitors, for several years have mentioned they'd kind of like to have an opportunity to get lunch. And so one of the things we thought we might offer is kind of a pre-order box lunch that the cafe there would do. The exhibitor, of course, would pay for that, either in their registration fee or that day. So that would kind of help them because sometimes it's very difficult for them to get away from their booth. Let's see. We would encourage booth sharing. We had a little bit of that, but kind of additional where there's, a kind of a known collaboration that would be helpful. Would also allow folks to be able to, not only share a booth, but, enable a little additional space for other exhibitors that might. We did have probably 10 to 12 additional exhibitors that did not get in just because we were full up and they came a little late. We had a couple of no-show problems that we tend to have every year. And so we're going to address those. They seem to be repeat offenders, so we're going to address that. Accessibility-wise, we always really thrive to make sure that everything is very accessible. We have thumb drives that were preloaded with the book, and I think that was good. Large print, game sheets, things like that. The one thing we found a need for is additional interpreters. We typically use 5 interpreters, and actually this time of the year was a little harder to get interpreters, but we really felt that 5 really wasn't enough, so we'll probably try to bump that up a little bit for next year. The entertainment, as always, was very good. We may look at doing entertainment just on one stage, which will allow us a little more room in, for exhibitors if we do that. One of the stages is accessible, wheelchair accessible, so we would probably look at using that one. Maybe some small, background music or something or other playing in the others. And of course, continuing to emphasize utilizing entertainment where there are musicians or artists who have disabilities, which we have always done. So that's kind of where we're at. I felt really good about the expo this year. I just think it went off well, and we're looking forward to number 12. Questions?
I just wanted to say I attended, and there were comments being made around me all the time. So I heard, I have to say, I did not hear anything that was negative in any way. It's just an amazing progression from year one to now. And I know that is a result of hard work by many people.
Yes, it is.
But those many people, I'm sure, appreciate the work that you have done to do that. And I want to thank you personally for that as well. Just seeing families there is wonderful. And many of the services that were being exhibited were things that I'm sure there were people there who didn't realize that those services were available. I usually go around and talk to as many exhibitors as I can and thank them for coming. And every year I hear, this is the best one. This is the one we want to come to. And I think that's a direct result of all the work that everyone has done. Providers, this board, you, Jim, everybody that exhibits when I talk to them say that it is very well run, and you need to hear those things. Sometimes we don't hear them very much, but you do need to hear them. And thank you to the providers who were there and doing lots of different things. And I just can't tell you how rewarding it is to see where it's come from year one to now. Yeah. Thank you, Barbara.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the idea. Just a couple of other things. The website has been revamped, and actually, I think Jim is at the point where almost everything, all the new information is on there. So please visit the website, disabilityresourceexpo.org, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised to see how nice it looks. We've got all those exhibitors plus some. Anybody can go to that website and hopefully find what they're looking for. So that's really great. And Jim and Pat just did fantastic with that. Yeah.
That, I think that is actually a really important topic. That effort has taken a few years and a whole lot of Jim and Pat's time. And also the website itself was redesigned and restructured by Crisp Media. And he was really proud of this work and really wanted to get more deeply involved with the agencies and with the artists on the, you know, on the other side of it. And he passed away a couple of weeks ago, so we're not sure who from his organization will be able to pick up the work, but it's really brilliant. When he said it's ready, look at it, and I opened it, I was like, oh wow, wasn't expecting this. So it's really beautiful, and it's very functional, thanks to Chris. And then because of Jim and Pat, it's got really relevant content. It goes way beyond disability services. It gets all the exhibitors that we've ever had, mm-hmm. right? And then there's also information specific to the most current expo, mm-hmm. and great pictures. And, you know, I hope that they can keep up with the updates for a while we figure out, you know, what are we going to do the next time we need to redesign it? And I had another thought, which was that just linking the resource directory part is searchable, and it's as comprehensive as we could make it. I was hoping that could be used as a resource directory all on its own, separate from the expo. But I think the name might put people off. Like, they might think, oh, this is just about an event. So we actually bought another name, so we might be able to link just to the directory. So there are little things like that that we'll be doing over the next year. We've always recognized the importance of that paper resource book, and we used it yesterday with a person who just wandered into the office. There's no question to me that remains a really important year-round tool for people. But I hope that the website, now that Jim and Pat have really brought it up to speed, can also be. And then the other thing is that this was the first expo at which you didn't have the Pride Room or the artists mm-hmm. and entrepreneurs, and it was okay. And we've got, you know, we need to find other ways to take care of them and give them opportunities. But I think the expo didn't suffer from that, right? You didn't have complaints about where are the artists?
No.
Okay.
No.
So yeah. We had some of their work was featured as prizes right. and gifts, but, you know, we're working on other ways to support them too.
So yeah. Just one more thing I was going to mention. Each year we strive to get new exhibitors, new technology. And we actually last year discovered that 22 of our exhibitors were brand new. So that's really kind of neat to know that. And one of the ways we do that is our annual trip to the Abilities Expo in Schaumburg. And we will be, Jim and I will be making that trip Friday. So hopefully see some new and amazing things that we can bring back to our event. So.
Great. Thanks, Barb.
Thank you.
Next in the packet is the meeting schedule and list of acronyms. Lynn, did you have a correction to the meeting schedule?
Yes. That... there's a mistake in here that's not really, it doesn't really affect you guys, but page, what is it?
164.
164. It's in the next schedule, the allocation process timeline, which is page 166. It says here that the deadline for agency fourth quarter and year-end reports is August 24th. It's not. It's August 31st. I'm really sorry about that. That's important to the agencies, so.
And then we had the list of acronyms, like always, and then we had some old business that Len wants to talk about.
Really old business. Hey, Kim, do you want to talk about this really, really old business? We were looking through, I think it was it the three of us one afternoon? You weren't there? Oh, my gosh. It was Chandra and Kim and I were asked to find a document from 1997. So we went into Stephanie's archives, which are actually, they're like amazing. She's got everything there, and it's really easy to go to find the year that you want. So we started in 1997, and we looked through so many board meetings, and we read so much history looking for this one document, which we never found. I think it didn't actually ever exist. But we did find minutes from, well, actually, later that evening, I went online and looked through county board agendas and meeting packets in order to find if the document showed up on the county board side, and I could never find it, but I found minutes from the meeting, special meeting of the county board, at which Joyce Dill and Mike Smith were initially appointed to be the first members of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board right after the referendum passed. So that was November of 2004. So 14 years of service, Joyce. It's amazing. Well, we just thought that was a nice document to commemorate the occasion of your last meeting with us. And here's...
Yeah, I think we all owe Mike and Joyce a round of applause.
I said this at the last meeting, but I really do believe that a lot has happened since the inception of this board, and it's an honor to be on a board that really works hard to get the services that every one of us, providers as well as board members, as well as staff, as well as just families, knowing that they have a place where they can go and get information. The development of it as we've gone through the years has been amazing. And I'm just very happy. This sounds bad, but I'm kind of happy I'm going off the board. not because I feel that it's that difficult. It's just we have been fighting the same battles for years and years and years. And we try to affect what we can. I don't want to be negative, but hopeful, rather, and just the existence of the board, the existence of these providers who do such wonderful work for all of the people, families, for consumers, for the community. I see you out there, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, Joyce. I don't see a mental health board representative here. Is there any?
Oh, I can do it.
Okay.
I can just do it quickly. They meet this evening, and their agenda is a little bit similar. We have a presentation from Alex, and it includes this data plus data related to mental health and substance use disorders. So it's over twice the amount. It's going to be fun, Alex. And I don't. What else do we have on the agenda tonight?
A number of action items.
That's right. Right. Oh, my gosh. Yes, they have a bunch of additional decisions to make tonight. I did put an initial draft of a budget in here, and we couldn't do that because we don't have a quorum today. But the purpose is I have to submit budgets to the county for consideration, but I thought that it was important for you all to see each iteration of that, since it's your budget, not, yeah. So they have the same documents, and then they have several other decisions to make related to that. Should I just do my report?
Yeah, please.
That's pretty much my report. Kim and I will be going to Nashville for the annual DD Summit of the National Association for County Behavioral Health and DD Directors, and we were on the conference call yesterday in preparation for it, and it was, I think I just got one National Association meeting break from Illinois being the furthest behind. It was just in February we somehow weren't in the worst shape, but we're back to that. Thanks to the very important class action suit, which is the Ligas class action suit, which is what's driving the PUN selections, and the comments made by the federal judge, which kind of sound like almost like I give up to me. And so anyway, it's a really important class action suit. The implementation plan made sense. It's not come off perfectly, but it was something, and now they're stuck. And I agree, like, we are fighting the same thing for years and years, and how many different ways do you describe that? So we'll go, that's probably what's going to happen to us at the annual summit. We'll just be listening to lots of great things other states get to do. But we also, there's a federal OIG report, that's important, and we'll find out what they're going to be doing next with abuse and neglect investigations. So that's the main stuff. And then we get together in July. We have two new board members who've been appointed. They'll be introduced to the board and community on July 25th. Yeah. And that meeting is in the John Dimmitt room and not in here. So that'll be extra confusing, but maybe we'll put up signs. Anyway, that's it.
All right, there's several staff reports included in the packet. Do we want to have Kim or Stephanie talk about those?
I just wanted to share that in my staff report, I attended the Association of Community Mental Health Authorities of Illinois, the summer meeting, and Barry Taylor, who's a lawyer for Equip for Equality, was there and gave a presentation. He spoke briefly on the most recent ruling of the Ligas lawsuit, where the judge found the state out of compliance. Essentially, the judge said, you're out of compliance, but I don't feel I can make you appropriate more funds, so I don't know what else to do. So you can look at his PowerPoint, which was in there. He gave a lot of the history of Ligas and not so much looking forward. And then Kathy Carmody, who is she is with the Institute on Public Policy for People with Disabilities, and she also gave a presentation, and one of the things that she spoke on was the changes that providers need to look at and consider as the state looks at and maybe possibly moves towards managed care for DD. So those were good presentations, and then I also included the PUN selection and reports, and as Mary mentioned, the selection of 900 is coming quickly. So,
thanks, Kim. Stephanie, do you have?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Any board announcements? Joyce, it's your last chance.
No announcements.
Okay. If not, we're going to go ahead and adjourn, and we'll see you at the next meeting.